So let's begin Genesis 25, starting in verse number 20. It says this: Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah as wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Paddan Aram, the sister of Laban the Syrian. Now Isaac pleaded with the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord granted his plea, and Rebekah his wife conceived. But the children struggled within her, and she said, "If all is well, why am I like this?" This is the story of of Jacob and Esau. They were twins. Isaac and Rebekah had no children. When they finally conceived, they ended up with twins. And she makes this interesting statement because the children are struggling within her. She feels that the children are doing this. And she makes this statement, which sometimes is like us. If all is well, why am I like this? I think of Paul in the New Testament when he says, the things that I want to do, these are the things that I don't do. And the things that I don't want to do, these are the things that I do. It's kind of like him saying, you know, why am I like this? How come I can't do what I want to do? And this might not be what she's saying, but in parallel, this is what happens in our life. If all is well with me, then why am I like this? Why do I struggle? Why is there an internal struggle within me to do what I want to do? I know what's right, and there's still a struggle to do what I want to do. And the answer is very telling. So the last part of that verse, we'll read it again. It says, "If all is well, why am I like this?" So she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb. Two peoples shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other. The older shall serve the younger." And this too is the answer to our question as well. Why can't I do what I want to do? How come there's a struggle always? How come there's always seems to be this fight? And the answer is here. Because there's two nations in our womb as well. There's two nations in us. There's the flesh and then there's the spirit. There's two nations that live inside of us as well. There's what we call in the church, the churchy term is the flesh. You don't hear that used too much in the world, but in the church you hear it used all the time. The flesh, our humanity. Our humanity, the things that we struggle with, our desires, our will, our wants. And then there's God's will. The spirit wants the things of God, the flesh, this humanness, our nature, our human nature wants the things that we want. And there's this struggle in each and every one of us. Some less, some more, some with different topics, some with other things, but there's almost always a struggle between the flesh and the spirit in our lives. And that's because there's two nations that are in each and every one of us. And this is why we struggle with, we try and do good, but sometimes we don't, and sometimes we overcome, but sometimes we can't, and we know what's right, and sometimes it's hard doing it. It's because there's this real struggle. There's a real struggle that's going on in each and every one of us. Sometimes it's hard to accomplish and to do, to carry out what we know is God's will in our life. There's that verse in Psalm 37. It says, "Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart." And sometimes we think, well, the desires of our heart, this is what God wants to give me. And this is true if we're delighting ourselves in the Lord. Sometimes we kind of twist that verse around and we think, well, these are the desires of my heart. God, I'll be delighted in you if you give them to me. God, I really want this, and you'll really delight me if you just give me what I want. And we twist that verse around, and we want God to give us what we want. Because there's two nations in our womb, and they're struggling against each other. They're struggling. They're struggling one to come out on top of the other. There's two nations. And sometimes we want something so bad, we start seeking the Lord with all that we can. And so we look at God and we say, God, I've been delighting in you for about 2 weeks. Where is it? And how come I don't have it? Lord, I've delighted in you for just this little while. And shouldn't you just be giving me what I want now? But it's usually not the way God works. And sometimes it's so hard. It's so hard to surrender to God's will because we don't necessarily trust him fully. We think, well, what if he doesn't want what I want? What if his will is not what I want? And there's this internal battle. I really want this thing, God, but maybe you don't want it. Maybe you don't want it, and maybe something in the back of your mind is saying, I don't know if God wants this. I've told you the story before when we were in the city. There was this woman, and she was always afraid to surrender to God's will. I told you that at one point she told me, I don't know if I could trust God with what he wants. He might give me an ugly husband. You know, he might want somebody for me that's just not attractive. I can't do that. And then he might want me to go to Africa and be a missionary. I don't know if I can do that. There's this internal struggle because there's two nations in our womb. We're not sure if God has the best for me, and what his plan might not be exactly what my plan is, and my plan must be better. And so there is a struggle that goes on. And we're really good. We're really good as humans at when we want something, we can make whatever we want God's will. We know how to do that. We know how to find the right verse, and we know how to make it seem like God wants what we want. We're really good at that. I want this, God, and then all of a sudden we go and find the verse which supports what we want. We're good at this. All of a sudden everything on the radio sounds like God is speaking to us. You see a billboard, oh, this is a sign from God. It literally is a sign. It has something right now. Oh, it must be for me because we're really good. We're really good at doing that because there's two nations in our womb. We're really good at believing that God wants what we want. We had a friend that would always pull the God card for almost any decision they would make in their life. Well, God told me to get a dog. And then 2 months later, well, God told me to give up the dog. Well, God told me, this is why. God told me to name the dog, but now God told me that I can't have the dog anymore. It's always, well, God told me, and God speaks whatever was in the desires of the mind of the person. Well, God told me, and then all of a sudden it's justified because there's two nations in our womb, and we want what we want. And so we struggle. If all is well, why am I like this? Why am I like this is the cry of her heart. And so in verse 24, let's look at that. So in the days, when her days were fulfilled for her to give birth, indeed, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out, he was like a hairy garment all over. Ew. And so they called his name Esau. After his brother came out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel. So his name was called Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when she bore them. So the boys grew, And Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field, but Jacob was a mild man, dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game. But Rebekah loved Jacob. And we'll stop there for a moment. We see that a very odd thing happens at birth. The first child comes out, the second one grabs a hold of his heel. It's a very odd thing. Had to strike them as strange. And sometimes as it is with the battle between the flesh and the spirit, that the flesh wants to just get out there right in front. Flesh is not patient. It just goes. It's got to go. Got to go. Got to seize the opportunity. Better do it quick. Can't wait. No patience. But thank God the spirit is there if we have not closed it off. If we have not closed off the spirit, it will hold on and say, not so fast. Thank God that the spirit is there inside of us, saying, not so fast, you can't go just yet. But if we ignore the spirit and we want what we want, the Bible tells us over and over, and example after example after example, that if we want what we want as opposed to what he wants, he will give it to us. He will give it to us. And let us go down that course. He will let us go down the course of what we desire, if it's not, even many times when it's not what he desires. It's never the best for us, but many times God does allow it. Let's move on. Verse number 29. They're now much older, of course. We have went from their birth and we have flash forwarded to when they are now in adulthood. So this is verse number 29. And it says, now Jacob cooked the stew, and Esau came in from the field, and he was weary. And Esau said to Jacob, please feed me with that same red stew, for I am weary. Therefore his name was called Edom, which means red. But Jacob said, sell me your birthright as of this day. And Esau said, look, I'm about to die. So what is this birthright to me? And this is very often how it seems when God's not answering our prayer. When God's not answering our prayer, sometimes we're exactly like Esau. God, I'm about to die. God, I can't go on without this answer to my prayer. God, I can't go on without you answering my prayer. Look, I'm about to die here, God. Don't you see? I can't live without this. And we come to God like Esau. I'm weary of the fight. I'm weary of waiting. I'm weary of this. I can't go on like this. And the devil comes and he exaggerates the problem in our life. He was not about to die. But it made it. But in his mind, he had wanted this so much. This red stew, the flesh was there, and it was hungry, and certainly he was hungry, and the flesh was just all firing on all cylinders, and it was telling him, you're going to die if you don't have this. So what is this birthright to me if I'm dead? What is it if I'm dead? There was an urgency in him. And that's usually what the flesh does. It puts an urgency in you. You have to have it now. I can't wait. I got to have it now. There's an urgency that goes along with it. There's a fixation. All he sees is that red stew. All he sees is that red stew. All he sees is that red stew. This is what I want. This is what I need. This is what I must have. There's an urgency and there's a fixation on it. Can't get his mind off of it. He's seeing red stew all over. It's like the cartoon where the person is hungry and they see everybody as a chicken leg. and just fixated on it. So he's fixated on it. He says he can't live without it. And many times this is the way we are. We can't live without it. I got to have this. I got to have that. Lord knows I want to have this. I'm not happy without this. This will depend on my happiness depends on the answer to prayer. I can't live without it. It's because there's two nations in our womb. The flesh, the spirit, our humanity, our spirit, God's will, our will. Two nations in our womb. Esau is fixated on fleshly things, while Jacob is fixated on spiritual things. Jacob is fixated on spiritual things. Jacob's saying, I want the birthright. That's what's important to me. Esau is saying, I really want supper. They're fixated on two different things. And reasoning could go out the window. Our reasoning could go out the window at these times if we're really fixated on things. Esau was not going to die. You could go for weeks without eating. You could go for weeks without eating. And even if you do go for weeks, and even if he did go for weeks, eating a bowl of stew might have been the death of him. Because if you haven't eaten for weeks and then all of a sudden you eat something big like that, it could actually kill you. You can't break a 3 or 4 week fast by eating stew. It's just not healthy. And so reasoning goes all out the window. And that's what happens when we get so fixated on something. And so he actually considers giving up his birthright for something as worthless as a meal. And many times, these decisions, whether they are as in your face or not, as they are right here, this is the decision that's many times before us. Will you give up your birthright for something of far lesser value? Will you give up everything that Christ has provided for you for something of far lesser value? This is the decision that's facing us many times in our life. Will you do this? You're a co-heir with Jesus. You have a birthright as well. You're a co-heir with Jesus. Imagine that. You're a co-heir with Jesus. Everything that he inherits, you're a co-heir of. Incredible. Everything Jesus inherits, I'm supposed to equally, I'm a co-heir. This is the inheritance that we've been given. This is our birthright as children of God. I'm a co-heir with Jesus. He's given me salvation. He's opened the door so I could have a relationship with him. He wants me to have joy. He wants me to have peace. He wants me to have rest. He wants us, the Bible tells us that he's given us everything there is pertaining to life and godliness. Everything there is pertaining to life and godliness, it's ours. This is our birthright. You've been given all of this according to the Bible, not according to me, according to the Bible. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. You've been given all things pertaining to life and godliness. You've been given exceedingly great and precious promise that you might be part of the nature of God. This is part of your inheritance. Two verses only. There's the rest of the Bible to go through. All of the great promises of God which tell you who you are and what you have been given in Christ. This is your inheritance. Your birthright. This is your birthright. And many times we put our fixation on things of this world. Got to get a bigger house. Got to get a second house. Got to get this. Got to get that. Got to get all these things. Got to do all this. Got to advance in my career. Got to get a promotion. Got to do it. And all these things, they could take away. They could take away from you inheriting your birthright. And maybe we do actually even give it away. We give it away. We give it to our boss. We give it to our home. We give it to all kinds of things. We give it to all of our possessions. We give it away. Because there's two nations in our womb. There is so much that God has for us as co-heirs of Jesus Christ. It's almost unimaginable. It is unimaginable. We cannot fathom the depth of the riches that are in Christ Jesus and that are made available to us through Jesus Christ, through a relationship, through making Him number one in our lives. There is so much that is available. But yet there is that human nature that is struggling against us to say, no, 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 you really want the iPhone. You really want this. You really want a second car. You really want this. Well, none of these things are bad in themselves, but when they become the focus, when they become the fixation, when they become above the desire for God, then they're bad. In and of themselves, nothing bad. We all need to communicate. We all need to live. We all need to drive. We all need to go to work. We all need to make money to survive. These are all good things. But when they supersede our desire for relationship with Jesus, when they supersede our desire for serving Him, then they become bad. And he tells. Jacob tells Esau in verse 31, but Jacob said, sell me your birthright as of today. In verse 33, Jacob said, swear to me this day. So he swore to him, and he sold his birthright to Jacob. See, nobody could do it but you. You're in possession of it. You're in possession of it. Jacob said, Jacob knew, you have to give it to me. You have to give it to me. I can't just steal it from you. I can't just take it from you. You have to give me the okay. And each one of us are in possession of our inheritance. Each one of us are in possession of our birthright. Each one of us, whether we're consciously doing it or unconsciously doing it, we're the ones who say, okay, we will give up this part of our inheritance. We will give up our peace. We will give up our joy. We will give up all these things. We will give up that relationship with God. I won't spend the time because there's so many other things. And we make the decision what becomes a priority in our lives. We're the ones who sell our birthright. We're the ones. Jacob wasn't able to take it. But Esau was able to give it up by himself. Just like we're able to give it up by ourselves. He traded something that was absolutely precious for something that was absolutely worthless. He gave up something that had insurmountable value for something that was going to be gone in a matter of 6 or 7 hours. Esau, verse 33 says, Jacob said, swear to me as of this day. So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. 34 says this, and Jacob gave Esau bread and stew of lentils. Then he ate and drank and arose and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright for a bowl of lentils. Lendiki. Now I know it's good. My wife makes it. It's good stuff. I don't know if anybody paid birthright for it. It's good stuff. I don't know if it's that good that you sell your birthright. But Esau said, sure, that sounds like a good deal. Jacob has like the highest price restaurant imaginable. Sold the birthright for a bowl of lentils and some bread and some water. Something precious or something worthless. And often that's exactly the way it happens. He got up and he was on his way. The things of this world are just temporary, and they rarely seem to satisfy. They satisfy for a few hours or for a few days or for a few months, but they don't permanently give us satisfaction. Esau was going to be hungry by the next day, more than likely. If he was not hungry the next day, then within a week he was going to be hungry, or less than that. So he sold his birthright for something so temporary, so fleeting. We have to put our priorities in the right place so that we don't give what is precious for what is worthless. We have to make sure our mind and our hearts are set on things that are permanent, looking at things that are eternal as opposed to things that are temporary, is the way Paul puts it in Corinthians. Our eyes are fixed on the things that are eternal, not the things that are temporary. And Esau's mind was fixed on the things that are temporary, and Jacob's mind was fixed on the things that were eternal. It's like a child, when you give them a new toy, they'll play with it for a day or a week or something like that, but then after a week it goes in the closet or into that big toy bin and it gets lost there. And then they go to the store and they want another toy. Yes, that toy will make me happy. And then the happiness is for like 2 days. And then they see another toy and I want that toy and that will make me happy. And then pretty soon you have a big box and a big crate. And then one crate goes in the garage and the next crate is pulled out and that's filled up. And it's this never-ending cycle of I want a new toy and I want a new thing. And that will make me happy for today. But it's only temporary. It's only temporary. We have to treat our inheritance, our birthright from God, like it was something precious, like it was something, the most important things in our life. You know, I don't know if people still have safety deposit boxes, but whatever is precious and could fit in that little box, people put there. We don't want to risk losing it. It's going to be there no matter what. If my house burns down, if a tornado comes, it doesn't matter because my most important stuff is going to be in that little box. I can't risk losing it. Whatever it is, I can't risk losing it. So we put things in little deposit boxes behind huge safes. And sometimes you open up these safety deposit boxes and there's things which seem worthless in there, but they're important to people because they prioritized and they said, this is what's important to me, so I'm going to put it in a place where it cannot be destroyed. This is the way we must treat our inheritance in the Lord. You're a co-heir with Jesus. You're a co-heir with Jesus. We must treat it like it is absolutely precious because God looks at Esau and says he's despised his birthright. He's despised it. Really, he just wanted something he wanted. But yet he gave up something that was incredibly precious. We have an inheritance as well. We have an inheritance as well. A couple of weeks ago, I spoke to you about the inheritance of our past, redigging the wells of our forefathers. We have an inheritance. We have a rich inheritance passed down through the generations, and we sit on that well. We sit on that well, and it might be stopped up a little bit. Maybe there's a little water flowing, but it's not like what it used to be. We can open up. We can realize that we have the inheritance, and we can redig that. Well, this is part of our inheritance, our spiritual inheritance, because we've been grafted into the family of God. We can redig it, or we can despise it. We can redig it, or we can say it's not that important. We can redig it, or we can say we have other things that are more important. It's our choice. No one else. No one can take that decision from us, but we give it willingly. We can make the choice to guard our inheritance, to protect our inheritance, to ensure that we have what our birthright says that we can have. We can ensure that in our lives. We can go after the things that God says are ours according to the Bible, not according to our will, according to the Bible. And we have that ability. The opposite of this is the picture of God, where the devil wants to take what is precious and give us what is worthless. God wants to take our nothingness and give us something that's immensely valuable. The opposite of this is exactly true of how God treats us. He wants to give us beauty for ashes, oil of joy for mourning, garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. God wants to give us the things that are priceless for the things that are worthless. All we have is ashes. All we have is nothing good. There's nothing good in ourselves. And Jesus comes along and says, take what is priceless, and I'll take from you what is worthless. And I'll give you something that is priceless if you will just come to me. If you'll just come to me. This is the bargain that God has given to each and every one of us. Let us treasure and hold on to that inheritance. Let us guard that inheritance. Let us make sure it doesn't slip away through conscious or even unconscious decisions. Many times it's just an unconscious decision. Well, I don't feel like, and it's an inconvenience, and you know, I'm really tired after a day of work, and yes, of course, this is true. And so we just make decisions, and we make decisions, and we make decisions. We need to guard our birthright. Guard that birthright. There are two nations in our womb. We must yield to the one that is of the spirit and not of the flesh, with God's help. With God's help. It is not our discipline that does it. It is the grace of God in our lives, which we call out to, which he says, if you come to me, if you come to my throne of grace, I will give you grace and mercy in time of need. Let us go to him for everything that we need. In the name of God be praised.